God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, what a powerful statement. Right in the middle of a warning against being rich and command the rich to do this and all that, he says, God richly, it's that same word that's turned into an adjective here, command those who are rich in this world, same word as an adjective, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. He loves us. He cares for us. The world, as he made it, is good. And it's okay to enjoy a good meal. And it's good to enjoy that good meal. And it's good to, you know, all of these. So he's not telling the rich, hey, you can never have anything except the bare necessities because that's ungodly, that's unspiritual. Now, verse 18, command them. What does he command them to do? Well, he's already commanded several things. But what does he command them to actually do? To do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and ready to share. Okay, so, all right, command these rich people. Don't trust in yourself. Don't be arrogant. Be humble. Trust in God. Enjoy what God has provided for you. But you must, and this is the only way you're going to break the back of materialism, it's the only way you're going to topple the money God, command them to do good, to be rich in another way. Same word for to be rich, but to be rich not in simple financial wealth, money and possessions, but be rich in good deeds. Transfer your, change your idea. Have a paradigm shift when it comes to how you view wealth. Not just to have money in the bank, but to take that money in the bank. Take that money that you're storing up for yourself like the, you know, the rich fool of Luke 12. It was rich toward himself, but not rich toward God. And to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and ready to share. Some translations make that, excuse me, taking a drink of water here. Some translations have willing to share, but I don't really like that as much because ready to share, it, because willing is sort of theoretical. Well, I'm willing to share. I mean, if somebody ever comes to me and I see a real legitimate need and I'm going to sit around and wait for it and I'm going to be, you know, instead of actively going out and serving the Lord, going out where the needs are, it's ready to share. It's eager to share. Now, here's what it then says about giving in verse 19. In this way, they will, in this way, through what? Through doing good, being rich in good deeds, being generous and eager to share. Okay, so through generous giving, giving of money is the primary emphasis here, but certainly it would include giving of time, giving of your skill set to enrich other people. In this way, they, who? The rich who are obedient in their generosity. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. He says something else that I'll comment on. But first, this is unmistakably a reference to Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth, but rather take those treasures on earth, the money God has provided for you in possessions, and turn them into treasures in heaven through storing them up there. That is, giving generously to the needy, to God's work, to evangelism, to missions, to Bible translation. All of this, in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves. And that's what Jesus says. You know, he says, don't store for yourselves treasures on earth. And you think, oh, he's against treasures. Oh, he's against storing up treasures. Oh, he's against storing up treasures for yourself. But then he turns it right around and says, no, do store up treasures. I'm all for treasures. I'm all for storing up treasures. In fact, I'm all for storing up for yourself treasures, because that's what I'm going to command you to do. But instead of storing them up in the wrong place, start storing them up in the right place. So it's what A.W. Tozer called the transmutation of wealth. When you take it from the one place on earth where, what does he say? Why does he say you shouldn't store up treasures on earth? Because it's wrong? Well, he says, well, because, no, moth and rust are going to destroy them. Thieves are going to break in and steal it. Your treasures will not last. Your treasures will be parted from you, or, ultimately, for sure, you will be parted from your treasures. You and your earthly treasures will not have an ongoing relationship. It is very temporary. But, no, you can't take it with you. Yes, Solomon and Job and the psalmists were right. You can't take it with you, but Jesus turns it on his head with what I call the treasure principle. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. You can store up for yourselves treasures in heaven that are going to be awaiting you and are going to outlast your life. And the person who spends his life storing up his treasures on earth is never going to be content. He's never going to have that great gain of contentment that Paul talked about earlier in the chapter. Well, why? Because if your treasures are here, then every day of your life, you get closer to the day of your death, you're moving away from your treasures. So he says, turn it around. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. And then what's going to happen? Then every day of your life, instead of moving away from your treasures, you're moving toward your treasures. The person who spends his life headed away from his treasures has reason to despair. The person who spends his life heading toward his treasures, which he has laid up in heaven, that person is headed toward his treasures. Every day of his life, he's headed toward his treasures, and now you've got reason to rejoice if that's how you've spent your life.